It's time for the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Berenger and Bruce Zeman.
Shoot! He scores!
And now, with a trip around the National Hockey League, here's Jim and Bruce.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Full Press Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, the voice of Full Press Hockey, rocking and rolling with my tag team partner, legendary tag team partner, I should say, Fox Media NHL analyst, Bruce Zeman. Bruce, welcome back to the program.
Jim, good to be with you again. This is our second time today and looking forward to talking about some more hockey.
Absolutely, guys. Check it out every Thursday morning around 8:15. I join Bruce on WVTK to talk some hockey. So check it out, guys. It's always the best part of the day, best part of your morning. A lot of insights there. And that's what we're going to pick up. NHL trade deadline, March 8th. Bruce is going to be a part of the show, 1 to 3 Eastern, our Full Press Hockey Weekly show. We do it every year. It's a great time. It's always fun. Speaking of the trade deadline, Calgary Flames back in action after moving Elias Lindholm, after moving Nikita Zadorov. Craig Conroy trades Chris Tanev to the Dallas Stars. And the New Jersey Devils are a part of it. But guess what? They get Artem Greshnikov, a second-round pick, conditional third-round pick. I think the Calgary Flames did a heck of a job, and Craig Conroy did a heck of a job for this player.
Yeah, he absolutely did, and he's certainly letting the other teams know that if he moves his players, he's going to get a good price for them. It was a very good job by the Flames GM.
It was a very, very good job. I mean, he's been doing that with all the trades with Lindholm, with Zadorov. He doesn't want to have a Johnny Gaudreau situation, which I mentioned on WVTK, where you don't want to let guys walk for nothing. And Gaudreau, to a point, really should have informed the Flames of his decision earlier than he did, not the day before free agency opens. That was kind of not right on his part. But for me, I think the Flames are showing that they're still in contention, even though they're moving out their UFAs. I like what Calgary's doing here. And I think the best part of this all is they're getting draft capital, they're getting player assets, and now they can retool on the fly instead of rebuilding, because I think that's what they needed to do from now on. I think Calgary had to retool on the fly instead of rebuild.
Yeah, Jim, I have to apologize. You kind of cut off in the middle of it there. I didn't really hear anything you said.
I was basically saying what I said was, is that Calgary Flames, Craig Conroy did a great job of acquiring assets, whether it was for Zadorov, whether it was for Lindholm, now for Tanev. He's building towards the future. While Dallas and Vancouver are going all in on this season to win, Calgary is building towards the future, but not a total rebuild. They're not trying to send the wrong message, because you have guys in the room, Nazem Kadri, believing that they're not a seller. Craig Conroy is doing things the right way, and Artem Greshnikov can come into the lineup because he's been playing well down in the AHL. You know, they get some nice pieces in return that they can use maybe at the draft to acquire some players. So instead of truly rebuilding, because you have guys on long-term deals with like Huberto, like Mackenzie Weegar, like Kadri, that you can't send the wrong message, then everybody wants out. But you move the players that are pending UFAs, that are unrestricted free agents, instead of letting them walk for nothing. Craig Conroy's made it his mission to do that, and I think he's done a great job, and they're really retooling on the fly.
Yeah, I agree with you to a large extent, but I will say this. At some point, Calgary has to stop becoming a place where people go for a little while and then move on to another, you know, another destination. You know, I completely agree with you with the Johnny Gaudreau situation. By the way, how's that working out for him in Columbus?
It's not too working out too good.
Yeah, well, okay. So he can stay in Columbus. And, you know, he is. I mean, Conroy knows what his you know, free agents are worth. And he's done an excellent job. And I think that's terrific. And it's not a complete rebuild. But I do think that at some point, it seems like the last couple of years we've been talking about Calgary unloading this person, so-and-so don't want to be here. And you're right. At some point, they've got to send a message to the leaders in that room that, you know, we're going to stop rebuilding, and we've got people that want to be here, and we're going to do something. So on the one hand, well, I think he did a great job. I think at some point, I think they need to end this and get to a point where they're going to start contending and not, you know, be getting rid of players that don't want to be there. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this forever.
And I'm not saying like guys like Tanev didn't want to be there. I think if they could have kept Tanev, they would have, but he just brings so much value to the market. Like, you know, maybe he didn't get a first round pick like you hoped, but the asking price was always a second round pick. Oh, you got a conditional third that goes away if Dallas doesn't make the Stanley Cup final. Fine. But you got a nice prospect defenseman who, by the way, is a young version of Chris Tanev. So I think that's a nice win for you. You got Kuzmenkov in as part of the Lindholm deal. He's been dealing with illness, but he's played well. Look what you did with the Tyler Toffoli deal. I mean, I think you have to say Craig Conroy's doing great. And look, yeah, certain guys don't want to be here, like Sidorov, now Hanifin. And we really don't know. There's a deal on the table. He could take it. He could not take it. But the fact of the matter is if he wants to play in the States, great. Now it's his turn. Now it's Craig Conroy's turn to go move him someplace, whether it's Boston, whether it's Tampa, whether it's Vegas, whether it's New Jersey, whether it's someplace that he can get value from.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I disagree with you. What I am saying, at some point, it would be nice to say someone say, I want to go to Calgary. You haven't heard that in a while.
No, the only player you really heard that from was from Nazem Kadri. And he's like, I want to play here. This is where I want to be. I mean, Huberto signed a long-term deal, but we really don't know if his heart's really in it or his head's really in it. He's having a better 2024. But again, the Calgary Flames are kind of right there, and they've been one of the better teams since they made the Elias Lindholm deal. And, you know, not only do they have, you know, Hanifin, but that now you have Markstrom, and what's next for him? Well, now we got reports potentially maybe the Flames aren't going to do anything with him. You know, maybe they hold off maybe because they're in the playoff race because he's been so important. Do they want to send the wrong message? I know they have Dustin Wolf coming. They know they have Dan Vladar coming. They're still there. But it's not like Calgary has to move Markstrom.
It's not that they have to move him, but however, it's been reported in literally every media outlet that covers hockey, including ours, that the Devils and the Flames had a deal for him to go to New Jersey. So maybe they don't move him, but I mean, they were going to move him. If they could,
they were going to move him.
So, I mean, the message to me already has kind of already been sent. It's just that it had to do with you know, salary retention and who is going to, you know, keep certain parts of the salary. I just, you know, and I don't want to jump around here, but I don't understand. We talked a little bit about the New Jersey situation this morning. Like, I don't see how this situation resolves itself for the Devils without something significant happening. I mean, they're playing a little bit. I mean, they blew out the Sharks. That's okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, prior to that, they had two games that were just terrible.
And games that you needed to win. Like, literally, you come off the big stadium series win. You look great. The Devils talk about it's important. Everybody follows the leader, the captain. And then you stink it up against Washington, the Rangers, and Tampa. Like, you have three stinkers and points that you need, especially against Tampa and Washington. Like, you can't lose those games. Like, those are games and points you can't give away. And it's fine we could stay on New Jersey because here's the thing. They tie into Calgary. Like you said, they had a deal in place for Markstrom. It was Holtz. It was a first-round pick. What was the salary? What was the other prospect going the other way? They got all the way to the finish line, but they didn't cross it because there was a DQ along the way. Like, somebody didn't like something along the way. They didn't cross a T, didn't dot an I. Didn't, no one liked salary retention. And you start to wonder, okay, well, why was New Jersey involved in this deal anyway? Yes, they have LTIR space, and for those that don't know, it's long-term injured reserve. Dougie Hamilton's there. But why would they get involved in this? And you almost got to speculate, maybe there's something down the road. Maybe they try to revisit something. Maybe it's Hanifin. Maybe it's Markstrom, even though, you know, Calgary doesn't want to send the wrong message. But I think if they could circle back on everything, maybe they can get across the finish line now because New Jersey helped Calgary out here.
Well, you know, like I said a minute ago, you've sent the message that you were ready to move him. Something didn't, you know, fall into place. But I just like with Calgary, we have been talking about this with New Jersey for probably close to a year now. And you had said it very well, by the way, in one of your articles, one of your blogs. I thought it was a very, very well written blog. I mean, you know, we said if this doesn't work out for New Jersey, does eventually Tom Fitzgerald, the Devils general manager, have to take some heat for this? And I'm at the point where I'm saying, yes, he does, because you know, the fire Lindy chants are happening again. And okay, fine. But here's the thing. If we're being completely honest and looking at this as an analyst and not as a fan, which is important when things like this happen, as much as you might want to criticize the Devils coach, he has not been given the tools that he needs to make this a playoff team. I do not think this is a playoff team the way it is right now. And since last summer, you and the entire league knows you need a goalie. Your defense, which is a little bit of a surprise, isn't playing well. And you still have no physical presence. So at what point do you say, you know, Tom, what's going on here? I mean, the whole league knows you need a goalie. And we said this morning, too. And, you know, I took some abuse for this the other day. But here's the thing, hockey fans, all right? No one in the league, unless they're an idiot, is going to give you their number one goalie without giving something back. So it's going to be probably Dawson Mercer. It might be Alex Holtz. It could be somebody else. It could be who knows?
Could be Seamus Casey. It could be another prospect down the line.
The longer this goes on, the more this is going to cost.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be even more expensive if they wait. So here, you know, since we're staying on New Jersey, let's throw this out there. And I'm animated about this because like everybody in the league is talking about this. Now, you and I were talking about this 6 months ago.
Right.
Right. And so it's good that people pick up our stuff now. I mean, great. I mean, we knew this already. But here's the thing. Like, at what point do you say, like, are you giving up on the season? Because that's what I'm like, are you giving up on the season? Are you?
I don't know. Are you? But you articulated the point so well that you did back in October on one of our on early season podcast. You said it. Is this on the coach or is this on the GM? Because does Lindy Ruff now have an out? Because it's like, hey, wait a minute, Tom, you gave me everything I needed except the guy I really needed. They
right.
put together, they re-signed Timo. They kept Bratter. They did everything that they were supposed to do. Yes, you knew your defense was going to take a step back because you didn't have Ryan Graves and you didn't have David Severson. Those guys were not coming back. Miles Woods was not coming back. But we talked about it after the Carolina series. You could not bring back the same goaltending duo over and over again.
No.
And Nico Dawes is playing well. We get it. But no one knows him in the league. And once they figure him out, they're going to know how to score on him. And it's not like the losses were on him, but he's played a lot of hockey. He's a young kid. He still needs to develop. So, yeah, does Lindy Ruff have an out? Sure. Has there been injuries? Yes. Nico Hischier, Jack Hughes, Dougie Hamilton. But did anybody think John Marino or Jonas Siegenthaler were going to take the step backs that they were going to take? That's what's really hurt this defense. And not to say that, you know, I don't want to come off as a fan here, but what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again until you don't get the same result. Well, they rolled 11-7 the other day, and Colin Miller continues to play well when he's in the lineup, yet Brendan Smith is continually not scratched. So tell me again, what are we doing here? Because if we're just throwing away the season, that's fine. But there were expectations on this team, and everybody knew entering the season, if this Devils team was going to contend, they needed a number one goaltender.
They've known that for a year now.
Right.
And you didn't get Hellebuck when we could have done that. And that's not a criticism because that would have been a significant thing after the other stuff he did. That's fine. But then you have a deal in place for Markstrom, and that doesn't happen either. So, like, if he was on the show with us, I'd be like, so, you know, without giving away the farm, like, what is your plan? Like, what is the plan? Because here, even more than the defensive struggles, the other thing to me that has been very disappointing this year is that, first of all, as much as I love both of them, Nico and Jack have got to stop getting hurt. They've got to stay in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to stop that is you have someone on that line with them that will kind of keep the peace. I mean, some of the hits that – even in the Sharks game the other night, when Nico scored that goal and got drilled after scoring, I think it was the seventh goal or something like that, you know what would have happened if Scott Stevens was on the ice there? That guy would be looking for his upper jaw.
Right, exactly.
And there's no physical presence, and so, I mean, you're basically saying, all right, you know, we're gonna play our game, and then you can, you know, run our captain, run the superstar. What is your plan to stop that from happening?
I don't think they have one.
Well, that's a problem.
Because they really don't they remind me of the Montreal Canadiens from a few years ago. Great offensive talent, a lot of small forwards, but no big guys. Like, yeah, Andre Palat shouldn't be fighting. Tyler Toffoli's not a fighter. You didn't bring those guys in to do that. You need to bring guys in to set the tone. Now, I'm not saying doing what Matt Rempe does for the Rangers or stuff like that. I'm saying you need to protect your superstars. Those guys cannot be fighting their own battles. Sometimes you have to, but you can't do it all the time. You got to have a guy on the ice that says, look, we're going to do it if you touch our captain. I know everybody's got to buy into physicality. I get that. But sometimes it's not okay for the stars to go be picking their own fights.
Well, Jim, you and I have known each other a long time. I'm old school when it comes to that. You know, you touch the captain or you know, somebody's goalie, you're going to have issues. And there's players out there. I mean, Pat Maroon is in the rumor mill, someone like that, or Tom Wilson or Brendan Lemieux. I mean, I guess I just don't know. Like, what are you waiting for someone to get to crush him and give him a season ending injury? What are you waiting for? Like, at what point do you say, dude, this is a performance based business, because it's a business. And I get animated about this because, like, it's like a broken record. Like, we have been talking about this since August.
Yes, we have. We have literally been talking about this since August.
And the goalie part, I understand. I mean, that I know it's not that I understand it, but I can see why it would take longer. But, like, are you just going to let people continue to run? I don't know. I guess I just don't understand what I seen that the people are in charge of some of these teams are missing. Like, I mean, does nobody else see that somebody, you know, they run Jack Hughes and Nico? I mean, am I the only one that sees that? I don't think so.
No, I see it. They need to play with more desperation. They need to be more physical in front of their net. They need their stars to be protected. That's 100% a fact. Like, this is why this team is where they are, because Jack misses a month, more than a month. Nico's out a month. This guy's out a month. Dougie Hamilton. And look, their power play is not that great. We know it's a one-time shot from Hamilton that really opens up a lot of things. They really haven't adjusted with that. Okay, that's fine. But you got to figure it out. Like, Timo Meier's a big body. Get him involved a little bit more. Jesper Bratt does not have a slap shot that'd be taking a one-timer pass to get in the net. Nobody's afraid of it. Nobody is afraid of their shot from the point. So you have to figure some different things out. And like we said before, yes, we know Lindy Ruff picked up the option. He has an extension. Does he reconsider everything at the end of the year? Maybe. I think if they don't make the playoffs, I think you have to consider a coaching change. I really do. But again, like we said, he has an out.
Well, he's got an out, but I mean, to me, it's not just a coaching change. I hope somebody above Tom Fitzgerald is asking him, like, what are you doing?
Right.
And maybe they do. Maybe they have some plan. Maybe that they're, you know, maybe they've got some off-season thing that they're working on, because you don't know what's going on in the room. But here's the thing. To me, this is an enormous step back.
Yes.
If you don't make the playoffs after what you did. Because right now, in my opinion, this is not a playoff team.
No, they're not a playoff team. And everybody expected them to be a playoff team. They were supposed to be top three in the Metro, even with the losses. But again, to take that next step, they needed a number one goalie. They didn't get it. And that's an issue, and it's still an issue. And they have to figure out a way to do it. And everybody's like, oh, we could be like the Panthers and get in. No, but you don't have the physical presence. Florida, if they don't win a game, they're the biggest sore loser in the league. They will beat you up and beat you up and beat you up until the end of the game. They do it from the beginning of the game. They skate through you. The Devils do not skate through you. They skate around you. That's the difference right now. They need guys that can skate through you and just be like, we're going to set a tone from the beginning, physical play, physical presence, and we're going. And I think that's what New Jersey has to do. And they need a goalie. We know they need some D help. It's going to be interesting to see what they do because, again, the options are dwindling. Marc-Andre Fleury's off the board. UC Saros is off the board. And if you look around the league, like I said, you look at the Jake Allens, you look at the San Jose guys, are those really upgrades to what you have now? No.
They're not at all.
their lateral moves. And you could have made those, you could have done that already. Like, you could have done that move already, but you didn't. Fine. So now this is the predicament you're in. You're fighting for a playoff spot. The team is inconsistent. And at times looks like it's put on its coach.
It's hard. It's a lot harder to watch the team as a fan than it is as an analyst, because if this was any other team, I would say you're at a point where, you know, look at how Edmonton turned stuff around after a coaching change. All right. And I think in the case of New Jersey, I think that not giving him the tools, you, if you're being honest as an analyst and not as a fan, I think it has to give him out because he doesn't have the tools to do this. And you know, just to take another, you know, something else I've been talking about for 3 years now, I really don't understand when you have in your organization a player like Scott Stevens, who has the pedigree as one of the greatest defensemen ever. I guess I just don't understand why he's not involved in this, since you're supposedly a Stanley Cup contender now. Like, and I've had a couple of people say, well, you know, maybe he had a bad parting with Lou or you know, when they did
Ray Shiro or
something. Yeah. I mean, whatever. But, like, listen, there was, in my opinion, from what I've heard, there were a few situations that were worse than the way things ended with Marty, who never should have played for St. Louis. That never should have happened.
No.
But, you know, they kissed and made up. So, like, and again, I'm not a GM, but I'm like, why are you not talking to this guy? And again, maybe they did, and he doesn't want to do it. But
I mean, maybe.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't. I mean, to me, if he came out in the media, and if I was at, you know, one of the press conferences like you go to, and I'd be like, Tom, have you talked to Scott Stevens? If he said, yeah, I did, he's not interested, fine, next.
Yeah, next, but has he? Because no one really knows. And the thing is, he was really good on NHL Network analyzing this team, and he was really good as a partial head coach and a defensive coach. So if it's that bad, put pride aside. And oh, by the way, they still play follow the leader because Breland Knight, all the big names weren't there. And they probably had stuff to do, but again, they still play follow the leader. All right, if Stevens isn't going, I don't need to go.
Well, that's a whole nother
thing. That's a whole nother mess. But the team on the ice needs to improve. We know that they have areas of need. Biggest is goaltending, physicality, and all that. Maybe they get it with Hanifin. Maybe they could figure something out with Calgary. Maybe they don't. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. A team moving that we talked about a lot that got a culture change seems to be closing in on one of their top players in Elias Lindholm. Sounds like he's close to signing a new 8-year extension with the Canucks.
Yeah, you know, another organization that was having some organizational culture issues that seems to have, at least from an outsider, looks like they may have, you know, righted that ship. You know, they're another an organization that really had to kind of stop the perennial rebuild. And you know, I think if they sign him, I think it's a real feather in their cap because, you know, they're a contender. And, I mean, they're one of the teams that you and I were talking about at the beginning of the year that's really been a surprise.
Really been a surprise. And look, Pettersson, like William Nylander throughout the season, didn't want to talk about a contract extension. He even said at the beginning of the year, I just want to focus on playing on hockey. He's done that, putting up really good numbers. Now all of a sudden this contract's become a distraction. Again, the Vancouver media likes to make up a lot of stuff. Oh, is he going to get traded? There's a lot of trade talk. Play has dipped a little bit. Vancouver's come to the table. But again, when Petey's ready to sign the deal, he'll be ready. And 8 times $12 million, I think that's what it is. I remember when we had Dave Pagnotta, the fourth period on, that's what he was saying. I'm going to believe Dave. And, you know, I've heard the same thing. So I'm not going to be shocked if this deal gets done next week right at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's going to happen between now and you know, next week when the trade deadline is. But so let me throw something out to you that somebody threw out to me this morning after hearing our segment on WBTK. You know, we're in New England, so we focus on the Bruins and the Canadians. And So someone asked me, they say New Jersey doesn't make the playoffs this year. Does anybody take the hit for that? Does anybody lose their job for this?
I mean, we mentioned it earlier. I think you have to consider moving on from Lindy Ruff. He just hasn't got it done. Jack saved his job once. I don't think Jack Hughes is going to save his job twice.
Well, does any of this come down on the GM?
I think he has to take some heat for it. I think he has to own up for the fact that he didn't get a goaltender.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to get fired. I think you make the move with the coach and see if you can add more veteran depth on the blue line to allow those kids to develop a little bit more. I think it's going to come down to the coach being moving on. I don't think the GM's going to move on. He just got an extension. I think Tom Fitzgerald is going to be there until Tom Fitzgerald decides he doesn't want to be there, or ownership just says, you know what, we haven't progressed the way you thought we were going to progress, and they're going to make a move. But I think they like what Fitzgerald's doing, so I don't think he's going to move on, but I think the head coach will.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe that's a problem then, if the ownership likes what he's doing. I mean, and again, we gave him a lot of props last spring and summer. Team owner.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, if you look at some of those signings, Timo's had his moments, but that hasn't really set the world on fire.
No.
The Palat thing hasn't really worked. So if you kind of look at a summation of it, like, it's result-driven business. You don't make the playoffs. You take a step back. I personally would not have given him an extension yet. But
no.
That's me.
I wouldn't give Ruff the extension either. I wouldn't allow Ruff to have an extension either.
You know, look, they let Andrew Brunette go to Nashville.
That was bad.
I think there's a lot of things that has to happen for this team to right the ship, and it's frustrating. Now, putting on my fan hat, it's frustrating to watch this because, you know, we're not the only ones that are saying, hey, look, you know, we need a goalie. By the way, Tom, Lindy, the entire league knows you need a goalie. And have needed one for a year now.
Right, exactly.
And you're gonna need one in the summer too, and it's only gonna get more. Dawson Mercer and Alex Holt and maybe, you know, draft picks and who knows what else.
It's gonna cost you a lot for goaltender.
The longer this goes on, the more this is gonna cost. And I'm not sure that this ends well.
No, I don't think it ends well either. Some players are going to go that they don't want to go, but they're going to have to make the deal to get the goaltender.
Yeah.
And there are not a lot of options out there right now. There are not a lot of options. And, you know, teams around the league, you know, they're stuck up against the salary cap. You know, Dallas was able to finagle a third team to get involved because they were up against it. You know, we know Vegas, we know Tampa Bay, Los Angeles Kings are dipping into LTIR. Because of Noah Hanifin. Could Casey Mittelstadt move? Jake Getzel's a name that's out there in Pittsburgh. But again, you look at Pittsburgh, right? They're kind of in the mix still. Kyle Dubas has said they want to get younger. But he wants to give this team the benefit of the doubt for the championships that they won and the patience he's having with that team. And then there's Jake Getzel that could get you a haul. But do they really want to move him? Because are you getting back what you expect to get back that can replace the production of Jake Getzel? And I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And patience is one thing, but I think not making moves when you've got that window, I think is a mistake. And I mean, there's a bunch of other teams that are in, you know, a similar situation. We were talking about New Jersey, but I mean, look at the Buffalo Sabres. They were another team that a lot of people had really high this year, and they haven't really done anything either. So there's a whole bunch of teams that are in the same situation. That just, you know, following the Devils and you know, following the Metro Division pretty closely, like you and I do when we do our thing on the station here. It's just, I mean, I think next week we're going to see some big names, and hopefully for the team that you and I follow, I certainly hope they do something to fix this.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with Getzel for a minute, though. I mean, you have Crosby there. He's having a great season. You got to think those conversations between Kyle Dubas and Crosby are going on about what the future is. We know Crosby's going to be there, a Penguin for life. But he wants to make a difficult decision. But as we heard last year with Tristan Jarry, oh, Jarry's gone, 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 and then he resigns. I personally think this is like a Chris Kreider situation where Kreider was supposed to be out the door with the Rangers, going to get traded, and then they signed him to extension. I really do believe if Jake Guentzel's going to sign an extension, it's going to be like an Auston Matthews extension, 4 to 5 years, and then we're going to see where this team is. Because I don't think he's going to commit 7 to 8 years to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, I don't know if they should commit 7 or 8 years to him. I mean, he's 29. So if you give him a 7 or 8 year deal, you're looking, you know, 36, 37. And I mean, as good as Guentzel is, I mean, he's not Alex Ovechkin.
No, so, he's not, but he's got great chemistry with Crosby.
He does.
And here's the issue. For me, this team had a chance to really rebuild and really retool, but they decided to bring the band back together with Malkin, with Letang. And a lot of guys have no move, no trade clauses. And, you know, you have Riley Smith there. He probably can move on. That hasn't worked out. Can they move on from Ricard Raquel? Again, Guentzel's hurt, but I just don't know. If he hasn't been traded by now, I'm not sure they get it done. Just because I think if they can go through this Western Canada road trip, collect enough points to stay in the mix, I think they use him as their own rental.
Yeah, very, very possibly. I mean, that it's going to be interesting to see where he winds up, if anywhere.
Right, exactly. And I don't know how many – and then look, we all always hope for movement on the trade deadline. Not sure we get a lot of it. I mean, we had the moves with the centers and we thought everything was going to fall. It didn't. We finally get the Tanev move. Kind of the market's been set. But again, you know, is Toronto really going to do anything? We know they want to add a left shot defenseman, but they don't really want to pay a price. As I mentioned on WVTK, Boston doesn't really want to pay a price because they're concerned over what happened last year, and rightfully so. You spend all these assets to get Bertuzzi, Hathaway, you upgrade your D, and guess what? It doesn't happen. And you lose in the first round, and all these guys walk away for nothing. And you do need center help. They were in on Lindholm. They were in on Monahan. But maybe they're just being cautious and going to say, this is the group that's going to take us. We know Omark's available. I just don't know if they make that move at the deadline. I definitely can see Linus Omark moving in the summer, though.
Well, Omark has been another goalie that's been linked to New Jersey, you know, which would be an upgrade. I think that some of these moves, like you said, could very well wait until the summer. It's just, you know, for some of the teams like New Jersey, are you going to give up on the season? I don't know. I mean, they're in a tough situation because they need a lot of things, and everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. Columbus knows it. Speaking of, that's a complete mess. You know, we talked about, you know, Canadian teams for a while being a mess. This is a hot mess. Columbus fired the general manager, Jarmo Kekalainen. John Davidson takes over. We know Elvis Merzlikins is a goaltender that could be on the move. They moved out Provorov. They added Provorov. Damon Severson's there. Things are just not working out, stemming from the Mike Babcock situation. It is a complete mess in Columbus.
Well, I was really surprised that the GM made it this long after the Babcock mess. And, you know, you've got a situation there that seemingly has just gone on and on and on. I mean, how do you even begin to fix that? I mean, do you want to go to Columbus and take over that team? Because I wouldn't want to do that.
I wouldn't want it. As much as they have great young talent, and they have great young talent, Columbus messed up with the hiring of Mike Babcock. Okay, that didn't work out. Then they hire Pascal Vincent. The players have no respect for the guy because he was passed over a couple of times as the head coach. So why would they want to play with for that guy? So you're probably going to have another coaching change in Columbus. By the way, players are looking to move on. Johnny Gaudreau has not worked out there, as we mentioned off the top. You know, does Elvis Merzlikins become a player for New Jersey? That's another goalie. But again, can you get him now? Or is it going to wait to the offseason? But things have to happen in Columbus because it's just a mess right now. They really have to get the GM hiring right. Not to say Jarmo did bad. I'm not saying that. Jarmo actually did pretty good if you look at it. From his 10 years there, 11 years there, wherever it was, the year they went to the playoffs, 2019, He used a lot of own rentals. Panarin was on that team. Duchesne was on that team. You know, Dzingel was on that team. You had, you know, Bobrovsky was there. They made a nice run. They made a nice run in the bubble, too. They beat, you know, Tampa. Then they lost to Tampa. But ever since COVID's been over, Columbus has been a bad team, and it's been a hot mess ever since.
I'm going to disagree with you on one thing here. I do agree that Jaromír did a decent job for most of his tenure. But hiring Babcock, if I'm being honest with you, I think he should have known it was a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't think he did the due diligence on that. And it wasn't just on Jarmo. It was on a number of people in the organization. But, you know, when I saw that he got hired there, and I think I even said this to you when we were, you know, texting back and forth, I'm like, so when does the first, you know, disaster with Babcock happen? And it wasn't long.
No, it wasn't long. It wasn't long at all. And here it is. They're all gone. It's a complete hot mess. It's a complete gong show. And again, the players don't respect the coach that's in place. It's just a hot mess in Columbus. And it's a shame because they have good young talent there. They're getting an outdoor game. That's all well and good. But you got to produce, and results have to come. Even John Davidson said, yeah, I have to take blame for this because it's a result-oriented business.
Yeah, it is a result-oriented business. And just like I, you know, you know how much love I have for the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, Columbus is another team that I'm sure nothing will happen with this. But, I mean, there are times I wonder why that team isn't in Quebec.
Yeah, me too. I mean, well, Arizona, 13-game losing streak. I mean, that's just bad. That's awful.
It's hard when, you know, you think, oh, my God, you know, you're in the NHL. Like, to me, like, that team hasn't really ever been relevant.
Outside of 97 and 98.
All right, so almost 30 years ago.
Right, exactly.
So, but yeah, and yet you have fan bases like Quebec, like Hamilton, that would be rabidly supportive of a team like that. I get, you know, again, that's why I'm not, you know, in the corporate boardroom, because I'm a hockey guy.
But here's the thing. I've heard it from Gary Bettman say it, and it came out. Even if Arizona relocates, they're going to expand back to Arizona.
Okay.
Like, we're going back to Atlanta. Like, okay.
Don't even get me started with that.
We're not going to, because this is really about trade deadline. What do you, like, if you look at it, right, and, you know, there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of teams up against the cap. Would you be surprised if, like, Tampa and Vegas make like a big time move for a big time player?
Not really, especially Tampa. They've hit a rough patch. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I'm also curious to see if Phil Kessel's going to pop up somewhere at some point.
Well, he's with Vancouver for their minor league team, but hasn't signed a full-time contract yet.
Right. Well, you know, as much as he didn't do much last year in the playoffs, I think he only played four games. I mean, the guy can still produce on the power play. He's someone that's going to put up 30 points, which just about every team he can use. Now, to answer your question, it wouldn't surprise me at all if you want to, you know, stir things up a little bit, because I think, as we alluded to again in our podcast over the summer, that I think Vegas thought that they weren't given a lot of respect.
No, they were not. And look, they've hit the injury bug. Bruce Cassidy's back in Boston. That's always a fun little caveat because of what happened in 2019. And we know how close the Bruins were there. I just think because of the way teams are so close up against the salary cap, if things do happen, it may be before. Like, we always saw this run on guys, but the market is so volatile now that we really don't know what the real price is of players, because you still have, in Philly, you still have Sean Walker, Nick Seeler. Like, what is really the market for some of these defensemen?
I think, to answer your question, I think what the market is based on the need of, you know, a team. To just use the New Jersey analogy with the goaltender, I mean, whatever, basically they're in a position now where whatever it costs, they basically got to pay.
Right.
You know, if you've got a team that's looking for a sixth defenseman or a seventh defenseman, that's a lot different than needing a starting goaltender or a top line center or winger or something like that. So what is the market? I mean, you know, is there going to be another domino effect? I'm not sure. I think if you see some of the other names go, maybe you'll see what the true value is. But I think it, you know, you just asked me if I thought there was going to be a big trade. It also wouldn't surprise me if there was not a lot of action at the trade deadline.
Right? Like, you hear all these names, like Tarasenko coming out of Ottawa. You hear Adam Henrique and Frank Vetrano in Anaheim. You hear about everybody available that's in San Jose, from the Duclairs to the Kevin LeBancs to the Mike Hoffmans to the guys in Montreal with David Savard. But are these teams willing to give up all these assets for these types of players? We're going to find out. We thought we were going to have a domino effect once Monahan and Lindholm went. It didn't happen. Pat Verbeek was in New York scouting out the Ranger game on Wednesday. Capo Caco was on the top line. There could have been a chance that Henrique and Vetrano went to the Rangers. Didn't happen. Could still happen. But again, there's a lot of names out there, but maybe not as many suitors. And if there's not as many suitors, maybe teams don't want to pay the price.
Well, again, what you're willing to pay is going to based on, you know, going to be based on what your need is. I mean, if you think that you're, you know, look at Boston, for example. If you are, you know, a first or second line center away from winning a Stanley Cup, maybe you go all in, and maybe you, you know, maybe you package somebody. Even if somebody you might want to package, you know, if you can pick up a, you know, a center like that, or even a winger that can play center, maybe you make that deal. But, you know, for a team like, you know, like Buffalo or St. Louis, that's not really, they're like a bubble playoff team maybe, I wouldn't make that deal then, because what you're giving up is not worth it. It's funny because this year there seems to be like four or five teams that are here and may need that one player or two player. And then like there's other teams that are like, eh. And then there's a whole bunch of teams that are kind of out of it. And it wouldn't surprise me if when we're doing the show next week, we're like, yeah, not a lot of action during the trade deadline. And, you know,
because if you look at it, it goes back to the top. Like Calgary's still in it. Minnesota's still in it. Nashville's still in it. Barry Trotz is looking for a first round pick for Tommy Novak. He likes that player. He wants a package for Saros that's big, but they're winning games. You know, Pittsburgh's starting to come on. Like, yeah, Ottawa's kind of out of it. So as we asked Dave when he was on the show, yeah, probably Tarasenko's going to be on a move. And maybe he will be. Where he goes, could he go to Carolina? Could he go back to the Rangers? What about Detroit? Like, Detroit, like, they've taken that next step. Patrick Kane looks healthy. What a Cinderella story in Chicago that was. But Detroit's ready to take the next step. But you have all these teams that are looking for things, but sometimes you're not, because there may be only a couple of suitors, even though a lot of people are linked. Do they really want to pull the trigger?
No, and, you know, I mean, look at Patrick Kane. I mean, in his last five games, you know, he scored 8 points. I mean, he's a point-per-game player now.
Yeah, he's healthy.
I mean, you know, 12 goals, 18 assists, 30 points in 28 games. And, I mean, that goal the other night that he scored against Chicago was just absolutely beautiful.
That was beauty. That was
all like me in my prime.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Said no one ever.
Said nobody ever. No, but look, Detroit's taking steps. This is where everybody expected New Jersey to be. Tampa's hanging on. That's why if New Jersey, and I hate bringing it back, but I think this is a great way to bring this whole podcast together. You circle back, and New Jersey could go on that Edmonton-type run if they had that number one goalie.
But I mean, and it's been that way since you know, this past summer.
Right, exactly.
We've mentioned this on the show. If you were to ask me what team is the biggest disappointment in the league this year, it would be the New Jersey Devils.
100% agree with that. 100% agree. Some people in Canada may say the Ottawa Senators. I think it's the New Jersey Devils because of the expectations, because of the fact that they could have been a cup favorite if they had done the one thing that they needed to do, which was get a number one starting goaltender.
Yep.
So we're going to find out. March 8th is the NHL trade deadline. Guys, it's been the Full Press Hockey Podcast. I've been your host, Jim Berenger, voice of Full Press Hockey. Been rocking and rolling with my legendary tag team partner, Fox Media NHL analyst, Bruce Seaman. Get it iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, take care. Enjoy the trade deadline.